Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back. Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. We've heard about consolidating regional police and fire departments, but what about combining the two departments into one in a municipality? That's an idea that's being studied at MSU. The two-year study funded by a $344,000 grant from the U.S. Department of Justice. It'll focus on exactly this kind of concept. To talk about it, I'm joined by Jeremy Wilson. He's an associate professor of criminal justice and the lead researcher on the project. Welcome to the program, Jeremy.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Now, these seem like two very different types of services when you look at police and fire services. Are there ways in which you think the two could easily be integrated into a single function?
Well, I don't think the answer is that it's easy to do, but we have seen instances where it can work. Kalamazoo, for example, is often considered a preeminent example of the public safety model. They had consolidated several decades ago and have had much success with the model.
So how does it work exactly? Is a police officer, basically, he does his role as a police officer, and when there are occasional fires, he'll go out and put a fire out also?
Yeah, that can be the case. There's actually several different models of consolidation, ranging, I guess we could think of it on a continuum from nominal consolidation, where the services are separate, but maybe they're housed within the same building, all the way to full consolidation, where all the officers are cross-trained as police and fire employees combined. And then there's variations in between. But yes, in the fully consolidated models, you could have essentially a fully trained first responder who could respond to virtually any type of emergency.
We see volunteer fire departments. We certainly don't see volunteer police departments. Does this reflect the rare nature of firefighting these days?
Well, in some ways, what's happened is the fire business, in some sense, has changed over several decades. From 1983 to 2008, fires fell by about 38%, whereas firefighters, full-time career firefighters, have increased about 42% over that time period, and the number of fire departments increased 7%. But at the same time, what we've seen is sort of the shift in their workload. From 1986 to 2008, for example, the firefighters' response to medical aid has actually increased 166%. So what we've seen are kind of fire employees sort of shifting in terms of how the nature of the demand over time.
I see. No kidding. So they're being used for medical purposes, as in rather than an ambulance, the firemen are called in?
Right.
That's quite interesting. So now what happens then? I know you're studying all kinds of, or you're going to be studying all kinds of different questions when it comes to this type of integration. But when you have a law enforcement situation where there's a big fire going on, mm-hmm. and you've got all these police officers / firefighters at the scene, what does happen when it comes to law enforcement? I mean, could that allow for some kind of a crime free-for-all?
Well, that's a very good question, and in fact, that's one of the very questions we look to answer here. That's something that's a question that a lot of people ask. Well, what happens when there is one of these emergencies? And what I suspect is that a lot of these agencies have mutual aid agreements with surrounding communities, whereby they can call for assistance in those instances where there is a major fire. But one of the key questions we look to find out is, well, what happens in these rare circumstances? One of the important features of our project that I'd like to mention is that, you know, we're not going into this with any preconceived notions about whether public safety consolidation is a good or bad thing. We're trying to understand the context of the implementation and the effectiveness so that we can consider factors like that, like what happens in these situations, so that communities can for themselves figure out if this is a feasible model for them.
I know there are well over 100 of these consolidated police and fire departments at this point in the country. Mm-hmm. Are there any particular problems that are noticeable almost right away?
The biggest challenge that pops up, I think, is, well, first of all, is getting support for transitioning to this model. But then the implementation is often a challenge because you have virtually two organizations that you're trying to combine, and so at the same time you're trying to cross-train all the officers. So, you know, the fire employees you're trying to train as police and police as fire. And so there's a lot of upfront costs often in these models, which, you know, can be quite substantial. And so it's obviously important to take a long-term framework in considering both the costs and benefits of this. But I think the implementation challenges and the strategic planning that goes along with this type of transition is often very difficult to undertake.
I can't imagine police and firefighter unions are very pleased with the concept. I'm guessing that when this kind of a combination is made, that typically it leads to quite a few layoffs. Is that right?
In some cases, and again, that's one of the things that we look to figure out is, well, what happens when these agencies do combine? But what we're seeing is, you know, we've had this traditional reluctance to cut public safety. But with what's happened in the economy, we're seeing dramatic and unprecedented decisions. And, you know, we've seen hiring freezes and layoffs all the way through what some would call, you know, organizational death, so to speak. You know, when a police agency would basically disband and the community would contract for services or what have you. So, you know, ideally, you know, we've always asked ourselves, well, what kind of police and fire service do we want? Well, now we're in a situation when we're thinking, okay, what do we want versus what do we need and what can we afford? And is this or any other type of model a feasible way of providing the basic fundamental services we need at a price point that we can afford? And so what we're hoping is this research will provide some context for pushing that discussion forward in a reasonable and evidence-based way.
And this is a two-year study. I'm guessing the results might actually cause some major shifts in policy. So once this is complete, is this likely to then move ahead and be used to actually institute these types of new departments?
Well, I think it'll be certainly helpful in kind of shaping those discussions and helping communities figure out whether this model is right for themselves. And if nothing else, serve as the discussion starter, because there's very little research on these types of models and helping communities to figure out, you know, does it make sense for them? And so we've had a multidimensional project to gather data from across a lot of different sources, from, you know, conducting original research, gathering information from practitioners, and pulling together data holistically to try to get at all the different facets so communities can go into this with their eyes open and consider things that maybe they wouldn't have considered before based on, you know, the little information that's out there.
Jeremy Wilson, Associate Professor of Criminal Justice at Michigan State University and the lead researcher into this project, which is going to study this combination or combining of police and fire departments at municipalities. Thank you very much for joining me, Jeremy.
Oh, thank you.